You're listening to Extra Time, driven by Continental.
TMZ, oh my goodness.
I'll let Bobby Warsaw tell me how I did it.
I think he's the philosopher of football.
I'd like to have some more derbies.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, I like it. I liked it a lot.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here!
From New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time, driven by Continental from the AT&T MLS Studios in Midtown Manhattan. I am Andrew Wiebe with my partners in soccer, Matt Doyle, Caitlin Carr, and in a huge change of the starting lineup, in a managerial decision that will be debated throughout the ages, Ben Bear is back, and not just back, back as a starter, into the lineup.
Starter.
A full 60 minutes, Ben.
Wow.
Yeah, it's more of a cameo.
I would feel special, but after what you guys said last week about me, I don't feel special.
What did we say? Yeah, what happened? I forgot.
Nobody even remembers.
Yeah,
because it's just normal for you guys to just mention my name and move along. And say
technically, that wasn't us. Technically, that was via the mail.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just make sure.
Of which we have a lot today. And
so
of course,
is this a sympathy call-up?
I wouldn't call it sympathy.
Yeah, this feels like pity.
Yeah.
Pity. You know.
And we transferred
ET or
Pity Wins old club, right? Gasman.
Right. He's up. Yep. He's in Vietnam. So good luck to him with his ongoing adventures. Meanwhile, we will be out of here on Thursday. It is American Thanksgiving. We know not all of our listeners are American or celebrate Thanksgiving or really care, but we won't be here. We'll be eating and we'll tell you what we're thankful for in this MLS season. At the end of the show, there are some Black Friday sales coming up for MLSstore.com. And if you're listening to this on Monday, it is up to 50% off until midnight. So go check that out if you would like to order something for yourself, for somebody else, or for Christmas. And pay attention because there will be more sales ongoing throughout the holiday season. We've got free agent matchmaking coming up, free agency. The list is out. It's about to open. We have to get to the waiver draft first. We'll talk re-entry, open coaching seats in MLS, Mario Balotelli. We'll go deep into the mailbag. And you know what? Let's start with Mario Balotelli because we need to speak this into reality. And Doyle, you and I joke about this sometimes. Just say what you want. You want Marcelo Gallardo to be a head coach in Major League Soccer? Just talk about it. If you want Mario Balotelli to be in MLS, just talk about it. Mm-hmm. And literally, I think a month and a half ago, we said, you know what? Things, Mario, for you at Brescia are going to – it's not going to be great.
Has this worked for you guys in the past?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What have you spoken into reality so far?
I invented this job.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That was the starting point.
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, chapter one.
This is flipping burgers in Albuquerque. If you
We definitely talked about Zlatan before.
Yeah. Came.
I would definitely say we spoke.
You know what? Let's not get too technical with this.
Okay.
All right? Let's just try to make it happen. And in this case, I'm not even going to repeat what Brescia's president said about Mario Balotelli.
He just keeps digging.
He can't stop, and he's now walking it back. But I don't care, Mario. It's time. We hear that you have interest in Major League Soccer. There are reports, credible or not, that are linking you with Toronto FC. Please come to Major League Soccer. We're not perfect. We have work to do on our own, but we will be better than Brescia. I can make that much very, very, I think I can guarantee that. I can even guarantee that, I believe. Mm. Toronto FC, could Mario Balotelli, fit? Should he fit? Had to be no Josie.
Yeah. And there's been rumors, there was legitimate interest in Josie from clubs in China over the past year.
Ching!
Yeah, so if that works out, then Balotelli would make a certain amount of sense as a replacement for Josie as the number nine for Toronto FC.
Fringe Italian national teamers have done pretty well in Toronto.
Yeah, and like to be clear, Balotelli should be way more than fringe.
For sure.
I still think he's actually the most talented number nine in that pool, but for the obvious reasons, it just hasn't.
Yeah. If Josie is still there, I have no idea how that would work.
No, it wouldn't work.
It doesn't work.
It wouldn't work. And the place we all are kind of looking toward would be the Galaxy, because the Galaxy have an open DP slot, it seems, because they're going to be able to get Alessandrini back at below that threshold. Or if they don't bring him, if they can't get him below that, they're not going to bring him back. And they need to replace Zlatan, and you need to get a goal scorer. And Mario Balotelli is a goal scorer.
He is, and he's
a personality, and it's the site of his greatest triumph. The Carson was where he did that stupid back heel for Man City 7 or 8 years ago. Bring him back.
stole what I was going to say. I was literally going to say the Galaxy needs to bring him just so we can get...
I'm looking that up again.
Just so we can get revenge on...
It has millions of views.
It has 8.5 million views.
It's MLS's, I think, highest viewed YouTube video of all time.
He is Zlatan's spiritual hair.
Even like higher
hair.
than the Zlatan goal.
His spiritual hair. To come in and...
Hair. You don't
hair?
His hair.
Spiritual hair.
I had to lean into it after what I just, made a complete ass of myself.
Okay.
There.
Continue.
It is air. Amazing. Oh, my God. Oh,
8.5 million.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm pretty sure it's the highest.
Look, I mean, he may not have Zlatan's profile. He may not have the one.
I love
every
that MLS
place.
Digital, the first thing we think about when we go for player signings is YouTube clicks. We're like, who is going to get
this
us?
This is a YouTube show, after all.
This is literally a YouTube right now, Kaylin.
It's the off-season, all right? Hey, Kaylin, we're just trying to... You're a YouTube star yourself. You should understand this. You could have used this as
so
a Kaylin, moment to plug the movement. That's a
that is not what I'm going to be telling my family during Thanksgiving, by the
does
way.
Does the on-field fit work for you?
Not with Toronto, but I could see... I mean, I feel like Miami would be the more... logical place for me. Big star, Miami, new South Beach. You get the celebrity, the fancy cars, the literally all of the excitement. David Beckham's team, everybody that's going to be showing up there to watch him. And then Balotelli, I feel like, what is he, 29?
Yeah.
So, I mean, 29 years old, it's a guy you can build around for the next 3-4 years at least. He gets to start a new project. And really, it would be a, it would be a big splash. It would be amazing. It would be awesome.
Do you think he would equal Zlatan levels of hype? Because
no.
I called him his spiritual successor, but no. It would be more in the sense
spiritual
that,
hair.
I was trying to move past that. All right, like he has
that's not
going to
happen.
He has the personality. He has the quotes. He has he's at this intersection of society and sport and everything else with what he's been through, what he represents, the complexity of his life so far, of where he kind of stands in the way people think about him. I mean, he has it all. I think he's an incredible person. I've hoped and I've prayed for years that he'd be in MLS. Can he match up to what Zlatan did, though?
No. Zlatan is a like once-in-a-lifetime kind of guy. I mean, as far as even as far as a player goes, Balotelli hasn't won nearly the things that Zlatan has won over his career. And I don't think he would garner the same type of attention outside of the soccer community. I don't know if he would be on all the biggest late-night talk shows or any of that type of exposure that Zlatan did bring to the league. So, but that doesn't mean that he might not be a better signing in some ways, especially as far as on-the-field productivity goes or building a club or getting trophies or things like that. I think he really could do that and also give you some, you know, sort of blockbuster moments.
I think... what you would get is not at that level, I think, because like he wouldn't be on Jimmy Kimmel or wouldn't be on all these late night shows, and I don't think all of his quotes that he would say would get aggregated everywhere in terms of non-soccer related people.
I don't know, man. But, he's going to be tackling issues and topics if he leaves Brescia under these conditions and just who he is that are bigger than sport.
And should say he's been dealing with like rampant structural racism in Italy.
Yes.
And like overt from his own fans, from his own team. And it seems like he is more than fed up with it, which is entirely understandable. Continue.
What I was going to say is that in terms of soccer, you know, people who are paying attention to soccer on a daily basis here in this country, there's a ton of Man City fans in this country, and they may feel a certain way either way about him. He did help them get a Premier League title, their first Premier League title in X amount of years. And then there's a hell of a lot of Italian national team fans in this country. Again, they may feel one way or another, but I know every single pizza place in my hometown has a picture of the Italian national team on the wall somewhere, either like 1994 or 1990.
East Coast bias.
So on the East Coast, there's so – like I have friends who – like soccer, and they don't care about USMNT. They only care about the Italian national.
Okay, so let's put it out. And also, by the way, our producer, who Anders is out, but Chris Karen says he's from your hometown, and that's a lie.
YPP, Chris. YPP. Look on the wall.
Live fact checked for you right there. Let me throw this out there. How about Montreal? How about Thierry Henry? How about Joey Saputo? Obviously, connections to Serie A and the Italian community. Why not? Why couldn't he be the striker they need? They don't have a number 9, I don't think.
They have Maxi Arruti.
They don't have a number 9, I don't think.
Seven figures last year.
They don't have a number 9, I don't think.
It seems like it would be a great, like, Montreal's a super multicultural town. You know, Thierry Henry, frankly, he dealt with a lot of the same sorts of racism as a player that Mario Balotelli has gone through, and I think it would be, you know, obviously I can't speak to this on a personal level, but to see Balotelli in a structure where another person of color has their sort of hand on the lever, I think that, like, just from a socials perspective, I think that would make a lot of sense. It wouldn't, like, he would absolutely resonate in Montreal because he's Mario Balotelli. He is a former Italian national team, and that Montreal's a super Italian town. That is a move that would seem obvious to me. Maybe the Galaxy are a little more obvious because of the need and because they go for big personalities, and Balotelli is that. You could also drop him right down into the middle of Harrison, and he would be a hit there as well. But I don't think the Red Bulls are playing that game anymore.
Guillermo Bertolotto sitting back thinking, oh, my God, I just dealt with Zlatan. Now you're going to drop Mario in my lap? We'll see how that goes. Anyway, let us know where you want him to end up. If you want him in MLS, I personally would absolutely love it. It would be
FC Cincinnati.
I've been dreaming about, you know.
They need a striker.
He is the successor to Fernando Adi.
Yes. Fair. Okay. Yeah.
Something like that.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure he's moving to Cincinnati.
All right, let's talk something a little less juicy. Kaylin, I know that you're really jacked for this conversation about free agency as well as the reentry draft. It's one of those things in the offseason that when I come into the office, yes, you fall asleep against the microphone when we start talking about it. But it's, you know, the waiver draft is on Monday and then free agency opens. And then stage one of the reentry draft is on Tuesday as well. Stage one, if you draft somebody, you basically have to pay them either what they made the year before if they're out of contract, or you have to make a bona fide offer to them. So that's why very rarely are people drafted in reentry stage one. Stage two, you can do whatever. You can negotiate. You can try to figure it out. You can find a different number. In free agency, there are big names. Michael Bradley, who we believe will be back in Toronto, but he is there. I throw out a Galaxy brain take. Chicago Fire. Let him just go there with Chicharito on the rebrand, back home, quote unquote. You know, could be interesting. Not going to happen. Justin Miram, reportedly in talks with Atlanta, but also the Gulf is a possibility for him. He does have a little leverage in that sense. Lorenowitz probably back to Atlanta. We have other names here. How about Breck Shea? Is Breck Shea going to be an MLS player next year? Is he going to find a home in this league? I mean, Atlanta and I took a flyer on him through free agency. Didn't really work out for them.
Yeah, I don't think so. It's been a long time since Breck was above replacement level. I think he's 30, and we still don't really know what his position is. He's coming off a major injury. The one place I could see him, maybe Columbus, because I believe he played for Caleb Porter back
with the
U23s. And I think they had a decent rapport, and Columbus has a little bit of flexibility and a little bit of need on that left side. But there's not a super obvious fit with Breck.
How about this? How about Sasha Kljestan?
I mean, you want to see him in Nashville with Dax reunited. He's playing the understudy to Hani Mukhtar, telling him how stuff works in MLS. Teaching them all the tricks, and you know he's a great, you know.
Does he have to be a number 10?
No, I think he can play. I think they already have three midfielders in that. You know, if you're playing a 4-2-3-1, they have three players in that two spot. But I think he can play there. You know, with Dax, you know, he's getting up there in age. I'm not sure he's going to be able to play every game. When it's like Wednesday, Saturday. Annabelle Godoy plays with the national team, so he'll be out a few games. Derek Jones, we're still not really sure what kind of player he is. I know Doyle's very high on him, but we haven't really seen him play well in MLS ever. So it's just more insurance, I think, for Nashville.
Can I throw this one out? LAFC? You have to think the question wants to end up back in LA, back home. And his brother's at the Galaxy, so that's a possibility. But
Bob was his first coach.
Yeah, and he just lost Lee Wynn. He had Benny Failhaber before that. He's always had a veteran presence. I mean, look, we love Atuesta Latif and Mark Anthony Kay, but all are on the younger side. One could be sold. He could play, I think, maybe all three spots the way they play. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be the most like crushing defensively, but he can still run.
In any of those spots, you would have to be flexible around him, right? Like if he's going to play in the Atuesta spot, then you need to make sure that it's Kay and Latif in front of him to do a lot of the running, but he can, in theory, control the game in the way that Madunian did last year, the last couple of years for Philadelphia. In fact, that was the role Sasha had when he was at Anderlecht.
Yeah. By the way, we do have a Sasha Kljestan interview coming up later this offseason. Sat down with him for about 50 minutes and talked about all manner of things, including those Chivas USA days, as well as the moment Bob Bradley told him, you are not going to the 2010 World Cup. Almost had him crying on this set. It was an emotional moment, certainly for Sasha, but for me too, to see sort of from him what that meant to him still.
All about you.
Hey, look, I'm just saying. Just trying to sell the interview. It's a good interview. Anybody you stand out to you, Kalen?
Not really. Yeah. No. I mean, yeah.
This is
not really. I mean, by the time you get to be a free agent in MLS, I had 5 knee surgeries by that point. So I don't know. I think a lot of these guys either want to stay. They're either in a good place or in their career or in their social life that they want to stay where they are, or it's somebody that's going to make a difference or help or go to a place they might enjoy, but it's not something that's going to really make a big, huge impact on the league.
It hasn't yet been a splash thing, and that comes with, as you said, the amount of years required, which is 8 in the league. You got to be 28 as well.
Well, I would say Ozzie Alonso was...
Drew Moore was a splash.
Drew Moore was a splash.
Yeah.
Sure, but not in mass. At least I think this class... Steven Betashore, Jordan Harvey, Luis Robles should go somewhere and be a starter.
Robles would probably be the one.
It's in Miami, right?
Yeah, Miami would be a great spot. Yeah, I think as an expansion team, I think, where have we seen this before? I'm trying to think. When did Raimondo go to Salt Lake? Was it in their expansion year?
No, it wasn't in the next
one. It wasn't?
Yeah, it was in the next
but
one.
But still, it's almost like a Brad Guzan.
Yeah,
in some ways.
That's a better example.
It's like a figurehead. It's a foundation. Yeah. It's an anchor. It's a we know exactly what we're going to get out of you.
And don't even think about it. Don't worry about this position. He's going to help organize a new back line. Whoever it is going to be a new back line put together. So a guy like Robles would be perfect.
And by the way, in the media, in the community, he's like another executive. Like, he's basically taken on that persona over the last couple of years.
He strikes me as like a future GM.
Yeah, the way he talks, the way he thinks, the way he, to be honest, networks within the game, you can see that his wheels are churning. He has figured out Inter-Miami would be an interesting place. What about Benny Failhaber? I think he wants to be back in L.A. too. He's just like Kleshin in that sense. That's where he's from. That's where he grew up. That's where he goes back in the offseason. You know, LAFC, I kind of think they've already ran that race.
Yep.
And then they moved on, and he went to Colorado, then Kansas City. Kansas City is done.
Well, he moved on because of money reasons, correct? Because they didn't want to pay him as much as they paid him that
one
year.
Sure, but that's a combination of both sides.
So you think, at this point, could he go back there at a reduced rate?
Yeah, maybe. Is that
the
spot?
Sasha question?
Maybe.
Could be.
I mean, it seems like most of these guys are probably going to have to negotiate down.
Yep.
There aren't any home runs in terms of like, oh, we have to go out and get that guy, I think. Benny can still ball. I'm actually surprised that Kansas City aren't bringing him back because he's probably not a starter anymore, but you could put him out there for 1,000 or 1,500 minutes over the course of the season. You know, he's super smart. He can help lock down games at the end. Good on the ball in terms of like there are no more bad giveaways from Benny Failhaber at this point in his career. I'm surprised Kansas City aren't keeping him. The somebody wrote down Minnesota, which would make sense because they that was you.
Well, I'm the one who gave Weeby the idea in his column.
Oh, really?
For podcast reasons.
Oh yeah, for podcast.
Yeah, I'm just spilling the beans on you, Weeby.
BSI podcast. Now that Ike is in on that one.
Yeah.
Hey,
podcast
reasons only.
Make the podcast so much easier, and then they could just bring someone whenever the away team comes in.
Would Atlanta make any sense? They lost Nagby, looking for somebody to kind of play that role.
Yeah,
play
it's a good
possession.
One actually.
I don't know.
They can only sign two. You figure they will sign Jeff Horenowitz?
Sure.
Who's on a very palatable deal and played a ton for Frank DeBoer.
Is it two including their own, or is it two?
I think it's just two, but that's a great – look, I've come through the CBA the other day, and I don't want to do that again. It's just it's obtuse. So.
Do we think Kellen Rowe is finally going home to Seattle? He's also a free agent here. Seattle fans have basically been treating him like a Sounder since about 2015. I know for a fact that they tried to trade for him a couple years ago, and Mike Burns hung up the phone. And the kid has a tattoo of the Seattle skyline on his tricep.
I'll say this. It's a little bit less attractive than it was 2-3 years
ago. For sure, but you're getting him... You're getting him at a reduced rate.
To go back to the Porg Smith damaged asset.
Yeah,
distressed asset.
And he's 28, and they're not bringing Victor Rodriguez back, it looks like. And it looks like Harry Shipp is gone as well. And like if Kellen Rowe is your third string...
If he's your Harry Shipp.
Yeah, if he's your number, if he's there to get 1,500 to 2,000 minutes, that makes a lot of sense to me. Especially because you're also going to lose Lodeiro for a month during the middle of the season with Copa America. So you need somebody who has the flexibility to play anywhere along that three line.
What a legend, Nico Lodeiro, just still doing it with Uruguay. Diego Valeri looks like he's going to be back in Timbersland. We knew that. The Bird Dog, Sam Stachel, reporting it's likely to be a TAM deal. They're also apparently chasing a forward from Pachuca. Reentry? Do we care enough to do this? Like, stage one is going to be a
I highly doubt anyone's going to be anyone.
Mikey,
of
the lights. It's going to be the Mikey Ambrose style picks, where it's like senior minimum, left back depth. Put him on your roster.
So remember that Miami actually traded for that number one pick in stage one of the reentry draft. It was part of the Victor Ulloa trade. Yep. They got Ulloa and that number one pick for their own crappy reentry pick, which is the last one in the first round. I think it's 26.
Either way, it's, yeah.
And
it might as well be the same pick,
right? And like 50,000 of GAM. So this is Paul McDonough saying, okay, the easiest and cheapest way to add depth to our club is by using these talent acquisition mechanisms. And he's a guy who's already he took Mikey Ambrose in the 2016. Expansion draft.
Yeah.
So I expect that's going to be number one. The only other guys who I could see going are Miguel Ibarra, who's on a very reasonable number and is a starting quality. I think he's a starting caliber player in this league. He can play a bunch of different positions. And I could see, I wrote this in my column, I led my column with this, I could see Bob Bradley taking a swing on Juan Agudelo. I could, because Bob loves to fix broken things. He just does. It's in his nature. He loves to take players and make them better. And Agudelo, we've all seen it for a decade now, that he has like A-plus talent. And he just has never been in a place or with a coach or with teammates to put it all together.
Is he a forward or is he a midfielder?
He's the center forward. I mean, think about his ability to combine around the box and open up space for wingers. And then think about the wingers that they've invested in on that team. I think Agudelo actually makes a ton of sense for LAFC. But it's a very, 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 very small chance that they would go for him in round one.
They'd have to pick up his option. Which is probably in the $600,000
range. It's a round two pick. Absolutely.
So there's no way he's going
in stage one. So if he doesn't go, he's easy number one pick in round two. Easily goes to Cincinnati.
I don't know.
Just getting the rights. You still
because you
negotiate.
Don't know because you
Does
don't
Cincinnati
know.
Does Cincinnati even have the roster spots to like accommodate anybody at this point?
They
I'm
do.
Just kidding.
But
that was a joke. That was a.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm here. This is why I'm on the show. Yeah, yeah. So I don't deal with this.
Okay. All right. I tried.
Ben is on the show to not get your joke.
Exactly. I stick to facts.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah. I'm. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Give me a name then, Mr. Facts.
A name of who? That gets picked in round one or round two.
It doesn't matter. I don't care.
You don't care.
I don't care at all. There's no part of it I care about. It could go around one or round two.
Well, I would love to see Ja Plata get picked around this stage two. That'd be fun. I don't think it's gonna happen.
Oh, he'll go in stage two. If he doesn't opt out, he'll go in stage two.
Then that ends our reentry draft discussion. I just can't. I can't with the reentry.
Kaelin is very engaged.
Juan David Cabezas is really good.
Yeah, BWP is in this. He's a stage two for sure. There's a lot of guys who could get chosen. Got to find the right spot. And some places, we don't even know who their head coach will be at this point. There are five open head coaching slots in Major League Soccer right now. Miami.
Oh, Christian Higuita.
Christian Higuita's one.
Yeah.
This is like the Doyle greatest hits right now. Juan Agudelo.
So if I was.
Doyle's darlings right now.
If I was into
Chris
Miami.
Chris Clutie's going to come out.
I would take Christian Higuita in the expansion draft just to troll Orlando
Re-entry
City.
Draft.
Yeah, in the reentry draft, right. Rather. Just to troll
just to
Orlando
make him,
City.
You're trying to make him the next just Richie Larea, basically?
Just so Orlando City fans know what's up.
There was a good part. You didn't use it. Miami, you watched Copa Lib?
I did, yeah.
What'd you think about that game?
It was awesome. I actually tuned in. I only tuned in, though, for the last 10 minutes.
So did I.
What other game was going on at the time?
I can't remember, but I was watching
else. 8 hours.
Yeah, and I thought I was on
Wisconsin
at night, and then I turned it on, and Marcelo Gallardo was, like, urging on the River Plate supporters, and they're up 1-0, and he's wearing all black, and this is going to be his third Copa Lib title.
The double goal, the two goals, the winner, and the red card.
And the touching of the trophy beforehand.
Ugh. It's beautiful.
Oh, what a final it was. And if that was it for Marcelo Gallardo and River Plate, what a heartbreak it was. They should have won this game.
Did you see the way they were greeted yesterday when they returned to Buenos Aires?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. It was like they had won.
Yeah.
Like tens of thousands of fans turned out. And just like they were going wild for him
Flares.
And that team, just like it was
crazy.
One of the most heartbreaking losses I've ever seen a team suffer.
Yeah, I don't know how
and
it could hurt
more. And the fans were still like lifting them up. It was incredible
for it to be Gabigol, for him to have touched the trophy, for him to have done virtually nothing until these final two goals, for him to then get red carded. It was hard to figure out what exactly I had watched, and maybe that's it. Maybe that's it for Marcelo Gallardo. I kind of am in a weird one on this because the hire feels foregone at this point. Isn't that the way it feels? That like they're getting Marcelo Gallardo? That like they aren't saying no, that's not the case. They're kind of urging that on and
Jorge Mas is coming on
yeah.
a broadcast talking about
no,
like everybody's
done.
Gonna know
You'll
who our coach is.
Name.
I was reading Spanish language Twitter or some tweet that was in Spanish talking about him going to Barcelona.
So there is that talk, but I can't imagine Barcelona hiring a head coach who's never coached in Europe at any level. Go ahead.
There's another report saying from Roger Gonzalez of CBS, who said he talked to Marcelo Gallardo's agent, and he said their agent said that those rumors about him going to Miami just make him laugh.
That's not a denial.
It's definitely not a denial.
Is it like a
definitely not a denial.
Laugh? Is it like
the question is, what kind
like
of laugh
pool
is
of golden
it?
Coins sort of laugh?
Is it like a Joker laugh?
Anyway, Jorge Mas did
actually.
Come out.
I'm kind of an idiot because they hired Tata.
I was going to say Tata didn't.
Tata
have
had never yeah. managed in Europe before.
Jorge Mas said that he and David Beckham were with Mauricio Pochettino about a month ago, and he says he has to be careful what he says. They have huge admiration for Mauricio, but not in 2020. So this is a weird one. Like, maybe it happens, maybe it doesn't. Jorge Mas also saying at SoccerX, quote, you're going to see big fish in Miami. We aspire to bring the best players in the world, to bring the elite of international football, and not just when they retire. They want players who can contribute now. Basically, he's saying we're going to have Galacticos.
Go get Gallardo to manage and Gabigol as your center forward. There you go. I solved it.
Who do we want to see? Who are you going to bet on in the next 4 years? Who's the shoe-in this guy will play in Miami? Is it Luis Suarez? Because now, again, I don't know if it's just every time there's negotiations, every time his agent talks to anybody, he just says, hey, just mention MLS for us.
I'm going with
Edison Cavani.
I'm going with
Griezmann's probably the simplest, easiest money.
I love when Weeby does that. He just names off every possibility so no one else can say it.
Okay. So
I was saying Griezmann, considering the way that him and Beckham interact on Instagram, his love of NBA basketball. The Heat are back, so maybe that's a little bit of a selling pitch.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Griezmann. I think he clearly loves America.
Let me ask you this. You think the folks across the street in the marketing department have a whole deck and marketing campaign planned for Lionel Messi in Miami?
I don't think so.
You don't think they have it planned already?
I don't know that.
I think that's in a vault somewhere, and once they get the name, it's like you
break,
it open.
Get the Messi plan. Get the Messi plan. I mean, I think Leo Messi is a good bet.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't bet my life on it, but I might bet Kalen's life on it.
Paul Pogba?
Ooh.
That would be dope.
I think that would be a good one.
You think that's going to happen?
I think I saw him at a Heat game recently.
Yeah, I think he came to America during the international break.
Yeah, I mean that's hard to say. The other name that I think would like transcend would be Neymar.
Yeah,
and just seeing like he's 27 I believe now, and just I don't know, he's kind of all over the shop. You don't know. I don't think he's gonna stay in one place long. But I could see one of those stops maybe in a couple years. I don't think it would be right away, obviously. But if he goes back to Barcelona, say he wins the Champions League or then comes to Miami.
Like David Beckham in MLS in Miami is a pretty good trifecta. If you're an Adidas athlete too,
that's,
David
that's
walks
what I was
in
thinking,
there,
Pogba.
You're like, yeah. It's like, oh wow, there's a lot of synergy here to go back to your Leo Messi sort of break the glass moment. Those things matter in
but
this game.
Pogba, I think, would be... He would be a star. I think he would be on all those talk shows. I think he
Wait,
would.
You,
I know.
Really?
Yes.
You think he's such a bigger name
yes.
than Mario Balotelli?
Way bigger.
Look, I don't think so.
Think of it, first of all, World Cup champion.
Mm-hmm.
And insane marketability. If you look at like anything that Adidas puts out, it's Paul Pogba. He is the face of it. He has friends across sports, celebrities, all that stuff. I think he checks like every box that you would want.
I think if you polled like 100 casual soccer fans, like who watch the World Cup, you know, maybe watch a Champions League game here or there, and you ask them if they know who Paul Pogba or Mario Balotelli is, I think you get this about the same amount of yeses.
This isn't your pizza shop, all right?
I'm just saying, this is not a pizza shop. This is walking around in New York City.
If you ask,
I don't think people know who has more Instagram followers.
Who Paul Pogba is outside of soccer people.
If you ask everyone who walks into Tony's looking for a slice, a grandma slice.
Not Tony's, Maria's.
Maria's?
Shout out, Chris.
My bad. How about this? How about Orlando City? Who's going to coach Orlando City? Is it going to be Oscar Pereja? I mean, it kind of feels that way. Club of Tijuana didn't make the Liguilla.
Tijuana should not fire Oscar Pereja. He's a very good coach, but they go through coaches so fast. I think 9 in the last 7 years.
I think the fact that they haven't already.
Right.
Taping this on Monday afternoon.
Paul Pogba, 38 kind of million to Balotelli's 9 million Instagram followers.
Just so beat.
That has nothing to do with what I was talking about. Fine.
It's everything. Instagram.
Nothing
everything.
To do with what I was
Did
talking
you know
about.
That?
That's where what, those Instagram. That's what the world.
Where are
is
those
now,
Instagram
how
followers
many, how
from?
Many
are they
photos
from Europe?
In pizza shops in the tri-state area?
Are they from
area,
Europe?
Kalen?
Yes. Where were we? The fact that they didn't fire him yet. Usually, they like in Liga MX. Once, like you're like literally 5 minutes after the game ends, they just fire their coach.
I've been refreshing all.
So the fact
MX
that he's not fired already,
Twitter.
Maybe he's not going to get fired.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. So
and there are rumors that that maybe Patrick Vieira is on his way back to MLS at some point.
Nice is not.
They're 5 points out of a European slot, but they're also in 15th place.
Right.
So,
what is the job for whoever ends up in Orlando? Like, what is the state? Like, you know, James O'Connor, quote unquote. Yes, that's Pogba wearing a Heat jersey.
There's also a comment on it from Griezmann.
Bring them both.
Antoine's a little thirsty on this.
The whole French national team
on this Miami thing. Okay. What is the job like? Orlando every single year is will they make the playoffs? And we talked about James O'Connor giving them a step forward, at least like some defensive structure.
Let me just say one thing: the guy who's actually going to be coming this year, who we didn't even mention, is Cavani. I think Cavani's going to be in Miami anyway. How many Instagram followers does he have?
Not enough.
I don't like. It's tough for me. It's tough for me to say what the job is in Orlando City because I just don't know how big Nani is on Pinterest. I believe Pinterest is.
Is that? Oh my God!
He's more of a LinkedIn guy.
LinkedIn guy.
Yeah, big on LinkedIn.
They have a mismatched roster. They don't like they. They were not able to defend and attack at the same time last year. It either had to be all defense or all attack. When they went all attack, they gave up a ton of goals. When they went all defense, they did not score at all. They have Nani, who was pretty good last year, and Perea, the other DP. And in theory, that gives you a lot of skill to build off of. But in practice, anytime those two guys were on the field at the same time, they were flammable. I don't know. I mean, Sebastian Mendez is really quite good, but he was in and out of the lineup. Chris Miller, I thought, was good the first half of last year, and he was out of the lineup by the end. Dom Dwyer, if he had had even an average season, like that team is maybe in seventh place in the Eastern Conference, but he didn't. Dom Dwyer was just miserable in front of net. At the same time, Tesho Akindele actually scored more than anybody. He had 10 goals last year, more than anybody kind of thought he had in him at this point. So they did make up some of that, and they missed the playoffs again. It's always just been scattershot, and there is no institutional knowledge, and there is no year-over-year culture with that team, it seems. And it's not just up to the coach to fix that. It's up to ownership and Muzi, Luis Muzi.
That's why people link Oscar Pereja, by the way, with Orlando. Not just because he was such a great coach in this league with FC Dallas and accomplished a lot, but also because those two were together in Dallas.
Right.
And there is a relationship there.
And you look at the best teams in the league, they do go out and spend, but also the players on their team improve every year. If you look at what Bob has done for Marc-Anthony Kay and Latif Blessing and Walker Zimmerman and Tristan Blackman, like these players, and Diego Rossi. These players were better in 2019 than 2018. If you look at Jordan Morris and Christian Roldan, and even Kim Keehee, I thought Kim Keehee was much better in 2019 than he was in 2018 with the Sounders. Like, this, Orlando City's never had that. There's never been a player, I think, in Orlando City history who, after 2 years, is a better player. And you could see it because around the league, cast-offs from Orlando City go to the MLS Cup playoffs presented by
Audi.
Audi as starters.
Audi 2019 MLS Cup playoffs.
With different teams, like Richie Larea, Donny Toya, all on down the list. These were guys that Orlando City had, and they never became anything at Orlando City. That's what the team culture is. The new coach is going to have the mandate to fix that and the ability to fix that. But that means that the people who make the decisions are going to have the patience to do it.
How about this? How about Chicago? That one's open as well, Kalen. Not just the coaching position, but also GM and technical director. And Glenn Crooks is on Twitter reporting that maybe Domi Torrent kind of seemed like he would be interested in staying in MLS. That's what trickled out in the last few days. But what is the best route forward for this team? Because we spent a lot of time talking about the Fire, whether it be their new crest and brand that people really don't like, or whether it be their path forward on the field, which is very much up in the air because, like I just said, they don't have a coach or a GM, and they got DP slots, but they're moving to Soldier Field, and we assume it's going to be a big deal. But who's going to make it so? What to do? What can you do? You got to do something quick.
Yeah. Well, I think it will be a big deal going downtown for sure. Because, I played in Chicago. When I was there, I would meet people all the time that would be like, oh, I used to come to games at Soldier Field. So I think there is a huge opportunity.
How'd you feel about the rebrand? We got Susanna's take on it.
The rebrand? I don't know. I'm waiting to see. I want to see what the kits look like. I think it's an emotional issue, right? And it's like... I remember fondly the old jersey. I still have the old kits. My mom wears the stuff. But I think it's a chance for new opportunities, new memories, right? A new opportunity for this club. But yeah, like you said, I think I listened to you guys talk on the show. Like, they got to win. And I think that will change, hopefully, the way people feel about it. And they've got to kind of connect more with the fan base. And I think going back downtown is a big opportunity to do that.
How do they win?
Well, I had an idea.
Oh.
Well, it's not one of those. But for the longest time, and I know the Fire, I think, have looked into trying to do this at some point or another, was to try and get Chris Armas back there. Because I was saying when he was an assistant for the team, he played for the teams I was on, our captain. Then he was an assistant. This was the time when Ben Olsen, Jason Kreis, a bunch of coaches came in, and I was always like, "What? Chris Armas right here?" So I think that opportunity may have come and gone. I thought for a moment that maybe when things were on the rocks with the Red Bull, maybe Thierry Henry comes to New York, and in an alternate world, Chris Armas becomes available to Chicago Fire. That didn't happen. I think his assistant, CJ Brown, would be a good choice. Very experienced now in MLS, and has been in with the U23 system as well lately, and a guy that has a could connect to that history of the club, Ring of Fire legend, and I think he could do a really good job. Other names that I've thought or considered would be maybe Gonzalo Pineda in Seattle. I think just with the success that organization has had, that front office, and when you hear a lot of what he's been able to do, helping to set up this team and working a lot in the sort of tactical side or the film room with that group, he, I would think, would get a chance for a head coaching job at some point. And then maybe Steve Cherundolo, another name, U.S. men's national team player. And then the other name I think about, too, is DeMarcus Beasley. If you could get him on the staff somewhere, not as the head coach, but as a member of the organization or as a part of, as an assistant, I think he would be a really exciting hire for people in Chicago.
As a former Fire player, then, it's important to you that at least in some way the staff, the brain trust, reflects some of the history of the team. Get at least one or two guys in there who are either from Chicago or played for the Fire?
I would say yes, number one, emotionally, because I think there is a real desire to connect to that history. And I will say the Fire have gone out of their way to try and reach out. I know I've had multiple conversations with them, as well as several other people. I know other former Fire players have gotten contacted, which I appreciate, because for a while it wasn't necessarily like that. So yes, on an emotional aspect, I think the fans would like to see that too. And number two, I also think just based on results, because if you look at the Fire, former Fire players that have gone around the league, it's insane how much success they've had, whether it's John Thorington and what he's been able to do at LAFC, Jim Curtin at the Red Bull, the Union, the whole Jesse Marsh. You could literally, Armas, Bob Bradley, like
Josh Wolf is going to be
Josh Wolf.
Literally, the head coach Austin.
It's wild. Dennis when you Hamlet. Go around. Yeah, you go around the league and you see all the success elsewhere. So to me, there's a reason why that's happening, and it's because the Fire were so successful, and because there were people like Bob Bradley that really helped build this thing, and Peter Wilt in the early days, and a lot of the players that played for that club that were so successful have gone on elsewhere. So I think there is, number one, from an emotional standpoint, and number two, I think just from a result standpoint, there is, I think it would be smart. It would be a smart decision to bring somebody back who understands what that is and could connect.
Going back to the head coaching thing, so over the weekend, Glenn Crooks from, help me out, WFAN and Pro Soccer USA?
Yeah, I think yeah. Pro Soccer USA, for
Pro
sure.
Pro Soccer, and
he's on the... I saw the Domain Trent thing. That's who you're talking about?
He's on the NYC radio.
He tweeted some to the extent... essentially, it was Domain Trent, who left NYCFC a couple of weeks ago. Everybody thought when he left he was going to go back to Europe.
Seemed the obvious thing,
but... Glenn Crook said no, he's been approached by several MLS teams about head coaching, and there is interest.
Yeah.
Would Dome be a good fit for Chicago?
I mean, I would say judging by the tweet, look, just they can always reach out to him. That doesn't mean it's going to be reciprocal. I'm sure he's like, hey, we can talk. But you're looking at the openings currently in the league, and I'm not sure any of those really fit what he's been complaining about the league.
I think Joe Mansueto is going to
We don't really know what the Fire are going to be next season.
I mean, they had the third highest player budget.
Yeah, that was with a different owner, though.
Yeah, and I don't think Mansueto's coming
I don't think so either.
Did you listen to the Extra Time interview?
I don't think so either, but we don't know. And you're saying, so they're going to go from one type of team to another type of team, which you could say that because of the ownership. But that doesn't always mean everything else is built out yet. And wants, the travel, that is, I mean, Chicago, they might be traveling a lot next year. Who knows?
I don't know. Look, you got to have a job, though. If Chicago comes and says, we're going to spend big money, we're going to go downtown, the things that you didn't like before will help solve those things, and maybe it's not going to work for you in the City Football Group.
Well, you're still training in Bridgeview, though. Do you see Dome?
Look, maybe Dome's not ready for that. We'll see about that. But for City Football Group, it looks like Giovanni Brambrakos is going to be the front runner, as we've said over and over, for the job with NYCFC. David Lee is taking over the front office. Look, Van Bronckhorst seems like a great hire.
Yep.
Seems like he won the first title in Feyenoord history in like two decades. He spent a couple years as the head coach 5 years as an assistant.
My question is, so Dome left, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Why is it taking so long for them to announce
Good question.
So, I mean, and I'm starting to get questions in my head, like, is this actually happening? Or are they looking at someone else who's maybe not in the CFG group? Who knows? But you figured they like, last time, when Vieira left, they literally paired it, I think it was, like, an hour or two later.
But it was in the middle of the season.
I understand that, but Dome didn't start until, like, 3 weeks later when that happened. And so they wanted to get the news out quickly, but so there wasn't any rumors or reports swirling around, and here we're sitting here 2 weeks after he left and we still got nothing. They haven't put out anything. They announced the David Lee hiring, obviously. He moves up, so it's all within the family there, but we still don't know. They still haven't said anything. There's nothing.
And maybe
it's just weird.
Yeah, maybe the David Lee thing is part of it. Get that passed.
But that also happened on Thursday.
Sure, deal with the internal sort of turmoil and then make a hire. We'll see. RSL seem like they've made their hires, even if they haven't announced them. KSL Sports in Utah saying Freddy Juarez will shed the interim tag and be the fifth head coach in the history of the club. Of course, he started with the academy back in Casa Grande, Real Monarchs, and then moved up as assistant a couple of years ago. Then Elliot Fall, who's not going to be a household name here, but has been an assistant GM for them. It looks like he'll be promoted to GM. He was team admin, director of operations in their Lagerway, and then the last 5 years was assistant GM under Craig Weibel. The thing is, RSL punched above their weight for a long time. can they continue? It looks like it's going to be on these two guys to do it. We don't have as much time as I want, but it's mailbag time. 401-206-0MLS. We will talk about that in a second. Ben, 2222. But first, Andrew in Brooklyn gets first dibs on this. The NBA is going to steal League's Cup and Open Cup. We knew this was coming. As soon as League's Cup happened, everybody needed it. They wanted it. They had
Andrew
to have
in
it.
Brooklyn?
I am Andrew in Brooklyn. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Andrew in the Tire District.
So, yeah, in the Tire District. Forgot to add that one in. Reports are it's a midseason tournament they're exploring, where it would be from about Thanksgiving to Christmas, all 30 teams, single elimination. It's like March Madness, but with professional players, or, you know, air quotes, professional players.
Mm-hmm.
This is awesome. Everybody should have cups. Am I wrong about that? Does anybody care? I know you guys are NBA stands. I'm now on the League's Pass lifestyle.
Are we dropping NBA takes right now? Is that what we're doing?
Drop them. Don't ask me. Just drop them.
I think, we don't have to get to all this. I think the actual, what's going to end up being the end of the tournament is actually not going to be that interesting.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I mean,
Sam,
look what's going on in the NBA with load management and all that.
This is the chance for your Knicks to finally get a trophy, man.
The Knicks are... If I know anything about the Knicks, is that they're going to do something wrong.
And
it's going to screw everything up.
Yeah,
they're not going to make it because they're not going to make it because
glory after everything you've been.
They're not going to make it because the preliminary rounds are all just regular season games. So
yeah,
they're going to
lose
all those.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really make a difference. So it's still going to be the same teams.
The Knicks fan, man.
Yeah.
So why are the Lakers and the Clippers going to care about this when they have the NBA, when they have a Christmas Day game and NBA finals?
Don't ruin this.
Chance at silverware.
Should they make it?
I think it's
awesome. Would it be more interesting if they opened it up and made it a true cup competition so you could get like G League teams
there?
That would
be awesome.
Okay.
Also with G League rules with the free throws.
Let's bring
in
NCAA teams.
And like make the 3-point line like 30
feet.
KU
should play in this.
That's what they should.
I went to a Duke Berkeley game at MSG last week.
That was not great for you.
Yeah, they scored twice as many points as us.
Oh.
Are you going to the Wisconsin game?
I enjoyed a good time.
Tonight or tomorrow at Barclays?
No, not going to happen.
Yeah.
Fritz in Salt Lake City is prompted by the Josh Sargent conversation on Thursday. He says the best counterfactual player that could have signed a homegrown equivalent contract with MLS franchise and spent their career there. His pick, Steve Cherundolo, locking down the right side for the Chicago Fire for 15 years.
We can still do it.
Why don't we do this from 2010 onward instead of going all the way back?
What? Okay, so give me a 2010. Why are you picking holes in everything we do here? DeMarcus Beasley's on the left side for this. And Aguchi Onyebu, according to Fritz. Yeah, but it didn't exist, but this is an alternative reality. Aguchi Onyebu is also going to be a DC United legend.
Go ahead.
Make it
from 2010 onwards.
Who's the one?
This is pure Ben Bear.
Wow.
Immediate hot fire derision criticism
no
with
response.
No solution.
It could be Jordan Morris.
So makes a
could
very
have been
Jordan,
could have been Matt Beasley.
Editor.
Those guys are in there. Uh-huh.
Jordan Morris was one.
How about this? Jake from DC. Here's a would you rather.
Oh, Clint Mathis for Atlanta United.
Yeah.
That would have been, and he would have, oh man. God, I love young Clint. Anyway.
Jake from DC. Would you rather for
John Brooks for Chicago.
Which would be a more interesting development to each of us here? Number one, having a joint nations league between CONCACAF and CONMEBOL, or two, having the top leagues in Argentina and Brazil join the League's Cup? Obviously, I'm League's Cup. Nah, I'm just kidding. It's got to be the Nations League.
Yeah, Nations League. I think I'm sure on the show you guys have talked about the issues with playing club games in South America if you're an MLS team.
Well, remember, all the League's Cup
incredibly
games.
Incredibly difficult.
All the League's Cup games are here.
So they would have to travel
down. I don't think they're traveling here.
Flamengo, Gabigol, come north.
Maybe make the League's Cup 4 weeks in, like, from mid-November to mid-December, and it's best from Brazil, Argentina, Mexico.
After Copa Lib?
And after Copa Lib, Mexico, Brazil, Argentina, and the U.S., play it all in Canada, obviously, and play it somewhere warm. You know, host it down in all in Florida or all in Southern California or all in Texas. I'm giving people ideas. There's going to be a new tournament just like that next year.
Joseph Lowry says, after finally catching up on this episode, all I have to say is that I listen to or watch an All-Extra Time cast perform any number of Broadway shows.
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel, Kalen, about the Broadway Open? Are you a Broadway stan?
I mean, I'll just put it this way. I was sitting outside.
Right.
I watched the last 20 minutes live. You guys should do a live show here. I guess we should.
Fans, like, right all
yeah,
right here.
I got to watch it, and they came out, and this continued for another 20 minutes
yeah. mm-hmm.
in the green room.
I thought it was a bit much.
Mm.
Well, Susan, I didn't think it was David, a bit much.
Well, and David Goss and Broadway shows didn't think it was a bit much.
Here's what Susanna had to say in absentia about what Broadway musical we should perform as a cast. She says she'd pick Chicago simply for the Cell Block tango scene. She says she's Velma Kelly, obviously. But here's the cast. Doyle, you're Pop. Mm-hmm. I'm Six. Goss is Squish. Bobby is Uh-Oh. I don't think that's the way you say it in the musical, but that's how I say it at my house. Yeah.
Because she's saying she didn't actually kill him.
Oh. Cicero is going to be Susanna. And then
between the waiver draft and this Broadway bit.
Here's a good one for you. How do you like this one? I know. Who's your all-time, this is from Soccer Never Sleeps, Jersey Jonathan. Who's your all-time played every minute of their professional lives in MLS 11? I put mine together. So if you disagree or have a different... So I have Nick Raimondo in goal. Yeah. He beats out Kevin Hartman and others, but I just feel like Nick basically saved one in two PKs over the course of a career and has all the records, including most wins, best winning percentage, all that stuff. So I'm taking Nick Raimondo. My back line looks like this. Right back, Graham Zusi. Center backs, we're going on Doyle's suggestion to a five-man back line because we need to have Eddie Pope, Chad Marshall, and Matt Beisler in our lineup.
So Graham Zusi did not play right back for, I would say, half his career?
Sure, but he's
so I'm
going
to go Stephen Betashore for right back. Guy has won 3 Supporters Shields, MLS Cup, Canadian Championship. I'm going because he's actually played right
that's
back.
That's fair. No, it's fair. I'm going to go Justin Moore at left back, so we'll get the gang back together. This is Toronto FC all over again.
Any list without Dwayne De Rosario is not a list.
But I think Dwayne De Rosario, he had a little bit of time in Europe. It was just a little bit of time. He played for the Lynx.
Before there was MLS, you're gonna count against
him.
No, that's
not before MLS.
No, there was MLS. I think
he played
go double check this.
FSV Zwickau.
Yeah.
Also, he played in the indoor league.
So that's a bummer. But my D mid is gonna be Kyle Beckerman. But see, here's where you get back into that complicated part. Because Shalrie Joseph, I want to have him in my team. David would not allow me to put him in. But he played for the New York Freedom and FC Boston. So those count against him. Chris Armas played for the Long Island Rough Riders. USISL.
I think if it's pre-MLS,
before
doesn't count.
MLS, so we could get Chris Armas in. So I'm going to go for my team. It's going to be Shalrie and Chris Armas for me in that midfield. And then I'm in front of them, I don't know. I'm thinking maybe it's Darlington. Maybe it's probably Darlington. Maybe Davey Arnault gets a shout. Maybe Brad Evans gets a shout. And then up front, you have some options here. I think you have to at forward go Wando and Cunningham.
Have to.
And then you could go Brad Davis. Steve Ralston would be in my team personally. Justin Mapp cutting in from the right side, maybe.
Steve Ralston has to be.
Yeah, he's in. Mike McGee, Eddie Gavin. Throw those in there?
Not
Eddie.
No.
No?
Could have.
They're on my bench. They're on my bench.
I think we could.
Best 11, Justin Mapp 2006 was insane.
He was so good.
Justin Mapp in 2013, I think.
Oh, yeah. And then,
Justin Mapp is one of those, like, if things had just gone slightly different, found the right coach earlier in his career
Doyle,
type of guys.
Thor wrote a lot of comments about Justin Mapp back in the day.
I did. Justin Mapp was going sick.
How about this one? Jared from Milwaukee. The year is 2012-ish. You're starting a new expansion club from scratch. Assuming they're all available, you can have either Diego Chará or Osvaldo Alonso, and either Diego Valeri or Ignacio Piatti. Knowing what you know now, production, durability, leadership, etc., which two players do you choose for your new club?
I'm going Ozzy and Valeri.
Yeah.
Ozzy and Valeri, that's the choice?
Yep.
Which is great.
How does that team look like in your mind?
What does that mean?
Speak into the microphone as well. This has been killing
what does
the
that mean?
Show.
What does that mean?
I don't know. What's you started?
How does it look any different from what they both have done throughout their entire careers? I think you pick, I'll just go into the, I think you pick Ozzy because he does get less yellow cards somehow. And has generally been more...
better passer.
He's generally been more available. He's a better passer. And then Valeri Piatti, I think, is another one where Piatti's gotten injured a lot over the course. Valeri has
Piatti,
had one or two...
Piatti plays on the wing, and he's great. He's one of the best wingers in league history. Valeri, during his best seasons, played as a number 10, and number 10 is just... it's a more important position. And so if you had... like, you're probably going to end up playing a little bit like what Portland played during all those Chara Valeri years, but a little bit less on the break because Ozzy's just a better possession defensive midfielder than Chara was or still is. But like, you can't go wrong with any of those four guys. And it still blows my mind that Portland had prime Valeri and Chara and still managed to miss the playoffs twice. Like, that should be impossible. It is incredible that happened.
All right, it's time to be thankful this season. And, you know, if we can get the background music going here, just to set the, I don't know, the mood for this year.
Only in America. Not in Canada.
We've talked all about this. You've been on top of that for us. I appreciate that. Not everybody celebrates.
Canadians,
you
can be thankful as well.
We can still be thankful for things without a holiday, and you should be. Kaylin is thankful for Instagram and email on his phone.
Slack.
Yes. Don't slack me.
Never slack Kaylin. Whether you celebrate or not, what are you guys thankful for this year? We've done a lot of shows. We've watched a lot of soccer. We've discussed both the ridiculousness and the serious side of MLS and North American soccer. What stands out to you?
Zlatan.
Mm.
Zlatan. Mainly just to watch the madness around it. It was so fun to watch. Is this music going to keep going?
Yeah, it's going to keep going.
Okay.
We're trying to set the
It feels
mood
weird. I'm like, I feel like I should.
Take a sip from your glass of red. Have a little bit of the charcuterie.
Terrible Keurig, but
we have an espresso machine back there, right?
Do you really?
Yeah, it's right back here.
I'm for all the reasons. What I mean, because of Zlatan.
This is the answer that I should normally take. What are you going to miss the most? What were you thinking?
I mean, it broke my heart that Mourinho came out and said he wasn't going to go to Tottenham, and I'm an Arsenal supporter. I don't want to say goodbye. I want him to be in my Instagram feed. I want to watch him play. I want to see his quotes. I can't let go.
It's too much Premier League talk.
If you'd like to communicate with Kaylin at any time, please drop in the DMs on Instagram.
It's the only way I communicate.
Yeah, he doesn't answer texts. Emails. He certainly isn't on Slack, but...
Definitely not on Slack.
Definitely the DMs are where he would be.
I am thankful for the new playoff format.
Ah.
Mm. It was so nice.
That's so much better.
For all of... That's a good not one only, like, us, for a lot, for content reasons and just life reasons, I would say. It also made everything easier to talk about and understandable. It was great.
Yeah.
Every game was, I mean, not every game, but almost all the games were lit.
Mm.
Uh-oh.
There we go.
Oh, boy.
We're still using that? That's not a thing, right?
We never did, but you did.
It's not, like, I'm saying we in general.
Oh, okay.
Let's move on.
It was really good. I enjoyed it a lot.
On that note, I'm thankful for El Tráfico. Because it mixed Zlatan with LAFC, with expansion, with Bob Bradley, and Get Lost, with Zlatan. It was everything. It was the sort of ridiculousness that I hope every single game that is in our league aspires to, whether it's a rivalry or not. Just goals, ambition, trash talk, fan environment.
And
it mattered. People cared about it, whether you were a nerd who is obsessed with Major League Soccer and lives on MLS Reddit or Twitter or whatever it is, or just somebody who was like scrolling through the channels and saw Will Ferrell throw a falcon into the universe. It was a wonderful thing. I'm also
throw a falcon?
Yeah, you know, whatever.
Release.
Guide. Release.
Guide. Yeah, yeah.
Just chuck a falcon.
Think of a bird.
Just right up in
Huck the it across
just,
the field.
Wow. Chuck that thing. I'm also thankful for Adrian Heath and Brian Schmetzer, who brought a degree
our dedicated listeners
of self-awareness to this podcast that we don't often have. So thanks, guys, for thinking about us, talking about us, and making us more relevant than we ever have been before.
Did he go?
I'm thankful for nothing. You know me. No, I'm on the note that you were kind of hitting with regard to El Tráfico and how that game had the energy and the drama that we all, like, we wish every game had that. I'm thankful for LAFC and San Jose, who both played every single week like they were in that type of game. Every single week, they went out there and were hell-bent for leather, man. They just played harder and with more intent than I think you usually see during the MLS.
Is this the same San Jose team that collapsed at the end of the season?
Yeah, because they're not very talented. They only had one guy who could score, and he's 37. But if you watch them down the stretch, they were still playing like their lives depended on it, and it was wildly entertaining, and it was so much better than so many of the regular season games that we often get, where teams are just stuck in third gear and are like, man, just try to manage this through August type of thing. So I was like, it just made the regular season much more entertaining. Each of those teams were must watch, and there are a few other a step below, like NYCFC came close, Philly came close, a few others as well. So I was thankful for those during the regular season. And just because we haven't plugged 22 under 22 yet.
Well done.
I'm thankful that more teams from around the league took chances on playing and developing the kids, whether they're, you know, foreign or domestic. Guys like you know, Diego Rossi and Brian Fernandez in Los Angeles.
Patrick
guys
Pomacall.
Like Patrick Pomacall,
Brendan Aaronson.
Brendan Aaronson and Mark McKenzie in Philadelphia. So I was thankful for that. Did you want to plug 22?
Yeah, I did.
Ben? Talk about?
Yeah, so next week, 22 under 22 is coming out. You will see it starting on Tuesday with the show on Wednesday. Doyle and Weeby and Bobby will be on that.
Who was number one last year?
Who do you think number one was last year?
Alfonso Davies.
Who was number one?
Tyler Adams was number two.
So the top two last year were both transferred for
multi-million dollars. Who was number three last year?
Diego Rossi.
Rossi was three, and then Yanhel Herrera was four.
And then your guy, Jefferson Severino.
Then Severino, who did not take that. Like, so last year's number one is now the starting left back from Bayern Munich. Number two would be the starting defensive midfielder for RB Leipzig if he hadn't gotten hurt 6 months ago. Number three is probably going to be transferred for $10 to $12 million this offseason.
Yep.
And number four is starting central midfielder for Granada, who's currently in a Europa League spot in La Liga.
So tune in next Wednesday to see where the next stars of Europe.
Right, there you go.
And we'll be playing. Number five crushed it in the playoffs, at least briefly.
Yeah,
he was going to the playoffs. But yeah, it's exciting. I'm excited.
There will be a
fan vote, so you can put in your own what you think and tell us. I'm sure it's going to be like Barco number one, and then George Bello and all the Atlanta players.
Yeah.
So vote against that.
They'll vote for Gosselin, who they just cut. But
yeah, they'll still vote for him. Yeah, I think he's still going to be in the list. But yeah, this is way more exciting because we're doing it at this end of the season now. We got a lot of complaints in previous years because we did it in the middle of the season. Guys got on a hot streak and we didn't get them in. So now we got the whole season to look at.
22 under 22, sorry, next week. MLSsoccer.com, all the details. Before we get out of here, I just want to remind you that turkey is trash meat and should not be served at any dinner table.
Learn how to cook.
And certainly not in a celebration of any sort. It's mediocre. And
turkey with gravy is really good.
Again, gravy is good. Turkey is not so good. That's it for us. Enjoy your holiday weekend if that's what you're going to be doing.
Deep
if not,
fry it with Filipino
spices.
We'll
be back on Monday with more. We'll see you then. We'll be right back.